This segment of the show is brought to you by ShoreCruise.com, your online cruise superstore, and in part by USA 3000 Airlines, offering low-cost fares from St. Petersburg, Orlando, Fort Myers, Fort Lauderdale to seven cities. And you can check out their schedule on our website or USA3000.com. Mr. Evan Eggers, president of ShoreCruise.com, is on the phone with the latest cruise news. Welcome, Evan.
Thank you, Roy.
Lots of things happening out there in the last couple of weeks since we've been away.
Oh, yeah, I know. We take a couple of weeks off. The news tends to pile up, doesn't it?
It sure does. And the latest thing, of course, is that the QM2 actually sailed onto the Golden Gate Bridge.
Yeah, this is very exciting news, especially on the West Coast. It's the first time that the Queen Mary 2 has been to San Francisco, and it's the only time she'll be on the West Coast this year. So, of course, the spectacle of that really just beautiful ship sailing under the Golden Gate Bridge was very, very newsworthy and received lots of coverage. The ship actually spent the night in San Francisco as well, which was nice. So lots of sightseers and ship lovers had a good chance to take a look.
Yeah, it must have been. I can remember I was on an aircraft carrier and we were in Australia, and we couldn't get under the bridge. And everybody thought in Australia, wait a minute, this is the biggest bridge in the world. I mean, how come you can't get the ship underneath?
And so, well, it's funny, too, if you look at some of the news photos that came out of the Queen Mary 2 passing under the Golden Gate, it really looks like a close call, even though obviously they knew there was no problem.
Yeah, they probably were leaning over to see if they were going to catch something.
Exactly. And I remember being on the Queen Mary 2 when she came under the Verrazano Narrows Bridge in New York and
right.
Sailing into Manhattan. And it was the same situation. You stand out on deck, you're like, wow, we're really going to make it? And of course, in that case, I knew that I'd already asked the question. The answer was the ship was designed for that bridge, so I knew we'd make it.
Now, I think it's important to let everyone know that the new passport rules are in effect.
That's right. So January 23rd, the new passport rules finally went into effect. They basically say that anybody – so all this change is travel within the Western Hemisphere. So places you used to be able to go to and come back from in the Western Hemisphere, like Bermuda, the Caribbean, Mexico, Canada – where you used to be able to go with no passport, you now do need to have a passport if you're flying. Now, the rule has been delayed still till early 2008, tentatively, for people who are going on cruises and who are crossing the border by land. But passports are still recommended, as we discussed before, because what if you take a cruise, let's say, from Fort Lauderdale to the Caribbean without a passport, which is still legal, and you need to fly back because of some kind of emergency? Well, now you're entering the U.S. by air and you need a passport. Now, the fact of the matter is that they are being a little bit lenient. Obviously, just because you're lacking a passport doesn't mean the U.S. government will keep you out of the country forever, but it does mean you'll have some delays and hassles at the border to get back in. So the message is get a passport.
And we've been giving that advice for some time now, and I think anytime you're traveling anywhere, I carry my passport all the time because it's a good ID, even here in the States.
Oh, it is, and it accelerates things. A passport's kind of the gold standard, so it's quicker, it's easier, it just makes life easier crossing the border. And furthermore, you get all those wonderful stamps from around the world. Gotta love that.
That's right. I've got books full of them.
I'm jealous. I have some catching up to do with you, apparently, Roy.
Well, I don't know. You do a fair amount of traveling, but I may have been at it a little bit longer. Now, what's interesting is, tell us about the PCL and NCL plugging into Shore Power at L.A.
Yeah, this is a great thing. This whole idea that when a ship pulls into a port, that it shuts down its engines and plugs into shoreside power instead, was started up in Juneau, Alaska, which had kind of a haze problem because of the geography up there.
Right.
And Princess actually started it up there, and now it's going to be coming to Los Angeles in 2008. So both Princess, whose ships already support the technology, and Norwegian Cruise Line have both committed that starting in 2008, when it's available from the port of L.A., that they, too, will shut down their engines when they arrive at L.A. and plug into shoreside power with what surely must be the world's biggest extension cord.
Can you imagine?
No, I love to see it. I haven't actually seen this done yet. I'm looking forward to seeing it at some point. It's got to be quite a bit of technology where you can actually hook up the entire ship to shoreside power and, you know, plug it in and unplug it when it leaves. It's pretty cool.
Yeah, I would guess. And then what about the bill?
Well, you got to imagine that electric meter's little disc is spinning around at warp 9, wouldn't you think?
Boy, can you imagine? I would think I'd want to stand back from that meter.
I think so, but obviously this is a great thing. Having the diesel engines turned off is good. It's good for the environment, so good for them.
Yep, absolutely. And probably what they save on fuel, or it probably all balances out anyway in terms of cost. But as you say, there sometimes cost isn't really the factor. It's it has a lot to do with some other things, like, in fact, the environment.
That's right. Well, and it's good. The cruise lines undoubtedly had to make a major investment to even make this possible with their ships. I mean, can you imagine having to, like, retrofit this capability into the ships, which they've done? So.
Yeah, that's great. That's great news. Now, Crystal is getting on board with this trans-fats bandwagon, huh?
That's right. This is spreading. So Royal Caribbean announced they were going to phase out trans-fats, and now Crystal has announced not only are they phasing out trans-fats, but they just went cold turkey. They're trans-fat-free now. So they just decided that Crystal said that they had eliminated already trans-fats where they could over the years.
Right.
And so they decided that they were easily able to just say, well, that's it. Zip, no trans-fats anymore. And so they're using all kinds of interesting oils instead, like sesame seed oil, pumpkin seed oil, walnut seed, corn oil, and olive oils. In fact, they even have a kind of an oil concierge where you can have things. So, for example, if you want some sautéing done, they'll ask you perhaps if you'd like rosemary oil to add a rosemary flavor to whatever it is they're cooking up for you.
Yeah, well, that's all good. And we can all we need to do what we can to keep all of these things out of our
arteries.
Yeah, exactly.
Well, I mean, now that McDonald's has said they finally solved the problem of getting rid of trans fats, you figure nobody else has a leg to stand on anymore.
Right. Now, tell us about the ADA rules.
Yeah, this is interesting. In 2005, a ruling came down from the Supreme Court saying that the Americans with Disabilities Act could be applied to foreign flag cruise vessels.
Right.
And that was very important that ruling was made. But it didn't really do anything because there were no rules for cruise ships, no rules for anybody to follow. It just said, okay, now the ball can start rolling on this whole subject. And so what's happened now is that the federal government has put together proposed new rules for public comment that gives some more specifics around this. And examples of some of that, obviously a ship is a different environment than a hotel or anything else. So it can't, a ship will never be, I don't think, as easily accessible as a land-based resort could be. You know, for example, on ports that you tender to shore back and forth, it's just never going to be as easy. But here are some of the rules they did say that the proposed rules that should apply to ships. The rules would outlaw any price discrimination based on disability, so you can't charge more for a disability access stateroom.
Right.
Passengers wouldn't be required to provide advance notice that they're disabled unless traveling with 10 or more disabled people. And it also, the ADA also gives rights to people with medical conditions. So another rule proposed is saying that passengers with communicable diseases have to be allowed to sail unless the disease is both transmitted by casual contact and has severe health consequences. And then one of the more interesting ones is, in some cases, for safety purposes, the cruise line can require the disabled to travel with a personal assistant. But if the passenger doesn't want an assistant, then the cruise line can't charge extra for one. So these are the examples of some of the rules that are being proposed right now. Not in effect yet, but, you know, it'll be interesting to see how this plays out. And obviously making ships as practically accessible to disabled people as possible is a great thing, too.
Well, it is very interesting because in the airline side of it, if there are not jetways at some airports, like for St. Pete, for example, it's very difficult to try and lift a wheelchair and up the stairs of an aircraft. So what they've done is, in some cases, is they use an elevated vehicle similar to what we would put the catering on with, and they wheel it onto that, and it's like an elevator. It just lifts them up, and they go in through the galley door. So there are ways to get, you know, to adhere to some of these difficulties and overcome them. So it's good to see that people with handicaps have more accessible ways of getting around, including the curbs that have been balanced out and all of these things. Because before that, it was very difficult for them to get around.
Oh, that's true. And there's so many of these things, such as the improved curbs. They're such trivial things that add no expense or bother to anybody, and there's no reason why they shouldn't be done.
Yeah, I agree wholeheartedly. Now, let's just go to that situation where the PCL ship actually hit a whale, or possibly hitting a whale. That was where, in Alaska, I imagine?
It was in Alaska, yeah. Right. The circumstantial evidence is very suggestive that the ship did hit the whale, but this settlement, Princess just agreed to pay $750,000 to settle federal charges that a ship killed this whale without admitting that they actually did hit the whale, you know, the typical kind of legal mumbo-jumbo.
Right.
So everybody's in agreement that the Dawn Princess in 2001 had a close encounter with two whales that were diving, you know, coming up and going down, diving in front of the ship, and that they may have hit one of the whales. You know, so people say that one of the whales didn't dive quickly enough as the ship was coming toward it. The ship didn't slow down, just maintained its course and heading. And then, 4 days later, a dead humpback whale was found near Glacier Bay that had massive skull fractures consistent with being hit by a ship. So put two and two together, you know, there you are. And anyway, the company has agreed just to settle the matter, to pay $200,000 fine and to pay $550,000 to the National Park Service Foundation.
Well, it's interesting from a lot of aspects in that, you know, what about people? I mean, you know, try to get a $750,000 claim for injuries in an automobile accident isn't as easy as hitting a whale, I guess, you know. Not that I'm saying that there shouldn't be some regulation. But
yeah, I was going to ask Roy, where are you going with this exactly?
Yeah, I'm not sure after I got into it, but in any event, you know, it's a good thing that that we're looking after the environment. But you know, how do you avoid something like a whale? I mean, it's just they're out there, and
yeah, I mean, there's some common sense to be applied. I agree. Princess has said that they've given their captains whale avoidance training now. What that amounts to, I don't know, but you know, hopefully it'll help.
Yeah,
you can't turn one of these cruise ships on a dime.
Yeah, exactly, and you just have to look for the water spouts, I guess.
Yep, so it seems.
Now, CCL is going to have a gambling tournament cruise, is that correct?
Yeah, they've done this every year for the past few years. Carnival has gone after the gambling market pretty aggressively. They have something they call the Ocean Players Club. So it's like a club you'd have in a casino, the frequent gamblers club. And they're going to have 20 slot and blackjack tournaments throughout 2007. The grand total prizes, when you add them all up, are over $100,000. So there are tournaments on a variety of cruise lengths, ranging from 3 to 8 day cruises, and then there is a grand final event on the new Carnival Freedom this November. So you've got all kinds of cash prizes you can win, and there are chances offered to win a free cruise on that grand finals cruise on the Carnival Freedom. So, you know, anyway, people who gamble, that's what a fun way to combine, you know, a fun cruise with.
Yeah, it's great and very popular on TV, obviously.
Oh, of course, yeah, absolutely.
Now, we're running out of time, but let's just cover one last item, and that is the norovirus is back again.
Oh, let's not.
Yeah.
No, norovirus is back again, and it's always around, and the last two ships to have a norovirus outbreak were the Cunard's Queen Elizabeth II and Holland America's Volendam. And the Queen Elizabeth, when I read that, I was a little more interested because Queen Elizabeth is in the middle of a world cruise, like a 106-night world cruise. So they don't have the opportunity quite as easily, for example, to pull that ship out of service for a couple of days,
right,
get everybody off between sailings, maybe cancel the cruise. They can't do it. And to their credit, they've been apparently handling it very well on board, just, you know, doing enhanced sanitation and cleaning on board the ship. And they report that, you know, none of the world cruise passengers have wanted to get off the ship or anything like that. And meanwhile, the problem is solved. I mean, this happened, a couple of weeks ago, and since then the problem has been pretty much resolved.
Well, you know, that's good news. And, you know, there's stomach viruses all around, whether you're on the cruise ship or just traveling every day just around town. They're out there, and it's just that I think we're a little bit more aware of it. Because of the publicity they get on the cruise ships.
Well, that and the fact that cruise lines are required to report outbreaks to the Centers for Disease Control, unlike anybody else.
Right.
So that's why people think it's a cruise ship thing, whereas in truth, as you say, it's everywhere.
Exactly. Evan, it's great to be chatting with you again, and look forward to doing the same next week, and bye for now.
Excellent. Have a great rest of your show, Roy.
Thank you, Evan.
Bye-bye.
Bye.